Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. We're beginning a new evening series tonight, and it's called The Things Jesus Never Said. Why have we called it that, and what's that all about? Well, there's quite a lot of things flying around that either misquotes from Scripture that people have picked up on and say, well, the Bible says this, and actually it doesn't. Or there are things that people have decided, yeah, I can go with that one, and it seems good and it seems appropriate, so make that part of what I think, part of how I act or react. So we kind of want to take some of those things and look at them and say, what does the Bible really say? And what's our right response to those things, the things Jesus never said? And tonight we're looking at some things can never be forgiven. Some things could never be forgiven. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 18 in the Bible. This is from verse 21 through to verse 35. Quite a famous passage about forgiveness. It's when Peter, the apostle, comes to Jesus and maybe thinks he's got it right when he decides that it's okay to forgive people up to seven times. And Jesus speaks to him and tells him a parable. And the heart of the parable is simply this: Peter, if you get grace, you'll give forgiveness. But if you don't get grace, you won't. So Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who'd owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Unless you forgive your brother from the heart. If you get grace, you'll give forgiveness. I wonder why people say some things can never be forgiven. I wonder what comes to your mind when that phrase comes out. And I guess for some people, they're thinking about people have done really terrible, evil things. So maybe they're thinking about somebody like Adolf Hitler, or Pol Pot, people who are responsible for the killing of millions of people mercilessly. And they think, well, what they've done is far too great for them to be forgiven. And so you say, some things can never be forgiven. And I guess many of us wonder at how big really is the grace of God. So if Adolf Hitler would have given his life to Christ on his deathbed, would he have really been saved? Would he have really been forgiven? But maybe for others of us, it's much more closer to home. and that the whole thinking about saying some things can never be forgiven is because we've been in situations in our lives, we've been in relationships in our lives, when the hurt and the pain, the abuse, the damage that's been done to us has been so great that we live with the legacy of that like a massive scar or a wound in our souls that never seems to go away. And we never seem to get over a hurdle of forgiveness so that in our hearts what we say is some things can never be forgiven. And some of that might be simply because, or complexly, because we just never get to a place where emotionally we can deal with that. Or it may be a protection because we can't go down that road. So if we say some things can never be forgiven, that's not something we have to look at. It's behind us somewhere in the past. It's leaving a legacy. It's left the pain. It's left the anguish and the anger. Or maybe it's our way of keeping some control, some power. Somebody's done something so deep and so evil or so wrong to us that we can never get over that hurdle, and holding back forgiveness is just us in some small way holding on to power over them for the way they, in their power, actually left us hurt and wounded. Forgiveness, as you might have already gathered, is not simple. It can be deep, it can be powerful, and can be really, really complicated. So, let's have a think about it. Catherine and I just watched an amazing film. It's called Free Solo. That's not the latest in the Star Wars films. It's an amazing documentary by a guy called Alex Honnold. Alex Honnold is one of these crazy people called a free climber. And there's a very famous lump of granite in Yosemite Valley, and it's called El Capitan. And Alex Honnold is famous because he climbed 3,000 feet of El Capitan in 3 hours. And the documentary won an Oscar for the best documentary a year or two ago. And this guy, I watched it, and I kid you not, my toes were curling, my legs were tensing up, my whole body was like, because this guy is just unbelievable. Some of the moves he makes on a rock face, when if all he does is let go or slip, that's him, he's dead. It's incredible. Incredible. One of the most hardest climbs, it's known as the hardest climb in the world. I guess most of us are never going to climb El Capitan. But I want to tell you, for some of us, forgiving is a harder climb than that. Okay? Getting to a place where some of the stuff that's in our past and has left us with this scarred, wounded legacy in our souls, forgiving is a harder climb than Alex Honnold free soloing up El Capitan. So let's just unwrap a few things about forgiveness. First of all, do you know as Christians you're expected to forgive? And this passage we just read, Peter goes to Jesus and he thinks he's doing really well. You know, he thinks he's growing spiritually. He said, God, Jesus, if I forgive somebody 7 times, isn't that great? You can just feel the kind of the smile on Peter's face as he says this to Jesus. You know, I'm really getting this grace thing, God. I'm really getting this grace thing, Lord. And Jesus said, unless you forgive somebody 7 times. And in another part of the New Testament, Jesus says, unless you forgive somebody 70 times 7, do the maths, that's 490 times. Unless you live with a constant lifestyle of forgiveness, Jesus says, you haven't got grace. And then tells this parable that you've heard, I've told it and shared it, that challenges us to understand that the grace of God is so massive to forgive us, and that our forgiveness, therefore, what does the master say? You should have forgiven the one who owed you so little. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus sums it up when we read the prayer that, or the prayer pattern that he taught us to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. In other words, both from this parable Jesus told Peter in Matthew 18, from the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus teaching us the part of our prayer pattern has to be, Father, forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins as we forgive others. That part of our prayer pattern has to be the forgiving of forgiveness. That it's got to be part of our Christian discipleship, part of our walk with God, part of our lifestyle. C.S. Lewis said, forgiveness is easy until you have someone or something to forgive. And I think that's a really kind of honest, brutal quote. But the challenge is there. Paul writes to the Colossian church, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness is expected, but forgiveness is hard. And when we come to Peter's proposal to Jesus, 7 times, Lord? And Jesus says, not 7 times, but 70 times or 70 times 7. It seems like there could be 2 ways Jesus is speaking to Peter about that. He could be saying to Peter, forgive and keep on forgiving. And I think for some of us, when we break through to grounds of forgiveness, we find that one day we've forgiven that person and the following day we wake up and we're still thinking about them. So we keep forgiving them for the same thing. And it might take us 70 times or 790 times to do that. Or we forgive and keep on forgiving because we've grown a lifestyle that is a response to God's grace. That when we need to forgive, whether it's the guy who cuts us up on the road or the guy who cuts across us when I'm on my bike and they decide it's okay to run a red light and nearly knock me off my bike because I've already gone on green. And, you know, whether we live a lifestyle of forgiveness, there's still this sense of if we're Christians, forgiveness is a part of us. So how does that kind of begin to work out for us? I think if we forgive, the first thing is that it actually brings freedom. One of the phrases that Jesus used here is a great expression, because it says that in verse 27, even though this man had a massive unpayable debt against his master, that the master had against him, it says the servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. When it comes to forgiveness, one of the best ways of expressing what forgiveness really is to let somebody go. I've got a little example of what that might mean like for us. So I kind of need a gentleman to volunteer. I brought my chains along tonight. I keep these in the in my office. Just if you ever get invited to my office, you've got to know these are here. They're hidden in the cupboard. Just gentleman volunteer. Oh, right, okay. What's your name?
Andrew.
This isn't a magic trick. It's really Andrew. That's a good name. Do you know what it means? You know what Andrew means?
Don't lie to me.
I'm not going to lie to you. It means...
Enlighten me.
Enlighten you. It means strong and manly. Yes. Take hold of the chain. Right, first of all, I want you to insult me. Just say something, you know. You're old and bold, something like that. Go on. Pardon?
You don't believe in Jesus.
That's not an insult.
Not.
Yeah, because I'm blessed when I'm persecuted for his sake. Right, so okay. Just tell me I'm old and bold.
Right, you're old and bold. Then.
Right, okay, right. You need to look at the crowd, Andrew. It's part of being on stage, you know, right? So just stand there. So, right. Now you've called me old and bold. You realise that you've actually offended and hurt me. So just say, Andrew, will you please forgive me?
Will you please forgive me, Andrew?
I say, no, I won't. Right. So... I know some of you have seen this before, but I just refuse to forgive you. Right? So in refusing to forgive you, I've now chained you up. And even though you've apologized and said, sorry, I've refused to forgive you. So actually, you're chained up and you're now prevented from any kind of relationship with me. So I'm actually using my unforgiveness as a power over you. Okay? Unless I then say, what did Jesus say? The master said, let him go. Unless I then say, I'll let you go. So I forgive you, Andrew, for your insult of me. I let you go.
Thank you.
Right? Okay, now we can have a relationship. Okay, that's great. Don't go away, don't go away. But imagine if over a period of time, you have been deeply hurtful, deeply insulting, and I'm really, really struggling. Your offences and your pain and your hurt to me has damaged me in such a way that I just struggle so much with even the thought or the feeling of forgiving you. The pain's so great. Plus, my relationship with you is actually dangerous. You've been close to me in my life, but my relationship with you is dangerous, and I just daren't forgive. In fact, I've got to keep distance from you for my own sake. Does that mean that I can't forgive him? Actually, no. God can lead me to a place where in grace I can forgive you. Some of the consequences of what you've done to me may mean legal involvement, may mean you end up in prison, may mean you end up judged. I can forgive you, but still for my own sake, I can have a distance from you. A lot of us think that to forgive somebody means that we have to get back into relationship with them. That actually might be dangerous for some of us. So I need to keep that distance for my own sake. But spiritually, emotionally, I can still forgive this man. Okay? That is not easy. What I've just done took 2 minutes. You could be talking about years. Okay? Thanks, Andrew. That was great. Bless you. But that whole point of forgiveness actually sets someone free from you. You're saying, I forgive you the debts that you have against me. So you can then see that forgiveness becomes an actual prayer from our heart that we speak out over somebody and over a relationship and over a situation. And as I've already said, for many of us, this might actually be a process. It might be a journey that doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes forgiveness is not a quick fix. Easy deal. But I want to say this, that above all, forgiveness is always, when we get to that place, it's always a powerful pardon. We're always in a place when we give forgiveness out where we're saying, I let you go from me. I let the debt go from me. And forgiveness then releases you from them. But then I hear you say, yeah, but what they did was just too big. And it may be. Still calls for our forgiveness, and it calls for us to put our trust in God. Paul says it like this when he writes to the Romans in Romans 12, verse 19. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. There are some situations in this world and in this life we are not going to fix. There are some justices needed in this world that we may not see. And that's why Paul says, put your trust in God. And maybe one of the reasons we don't forgive, because we don't trust God enough that he'll deal with it in his way. Back in the book of Genesis, God was bringing judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah for the amount of sin that they'd committed. But Abraham had his nephew Lot living in that area, and Abraham interceded for Lot. And there's one amazing line in the middle of Abraham's intercession when he understood that God was a God of justice. He said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And Paul's saying the same thing. Sometimes, and some things, however difficult, however damaging, you've got to leave with God. Trust God with his justice. So where do we begin? Where do we begin? Well, who do you need to forgive? And some of you know immediately. Some of us may need to go home and pray and think about this and maybe actually make a list. Now, a spiritual inventory is not a bad thing sometimes. It's not a list you're going to keep in your Bible and you're not going to write it in blood. You're just going to say, God, these are the people I know I need to forgive. But sometimes writing something down like that is a powerful way of just simply acknowledging that that's there. It's deep, it's hurt, it's hid inside you, and you just put it on pen and paper to let it out and say, God, I know I need to forgive her. I know I need to forgive him. I need to forgive them. Will you forgive? That's a decision. When you see that list, will you forgive? Will you come to a place where you're saying, God, this is one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. Will I forgive him? Will I forgive them? Will I forgive? Because at the end of the day, spiritually for you, it is an act of your will. It is a decision that you make to actually forgive somebody. And then make a beginning. Pray a prayer. Sometimes people share with me one-to-one and they'll say, I just can't forgive. And I say, I hear what your story is. I understand that pain as far as I'm able to. And I think I understand that inability to forgive. But can you begin by praying a prayer? What's the prayer? The prayer is not, I forgive. The prayer is, God, will you lead me to a place where I can pray, I forgive? Okay? So it's not suddenly getting to a place where you do that, because emotionally you're still kind of making the journey. But at least by saying, God, take me to a place where I'll be able to forgive, you are recognizing the need to forgive. You're also recognizing your inability to forgive for whatever reason. But you're also throwing yourself on God and saying, God, will you take me on the journey so I can get to a place where I have let them go? And then I guess going back to Peter's problem or Peter's proposition, keep praying. Jesus' answer, 70 times 7. However hard, keep praying. And I know what it's like. I know when you have to forgive somebody that you can pray the prayer and find that, as I say, the following day, it's there again. They're there again. But to say again, keep persisting, keep praying, however hard. And then I kind of suggest that for some of us, the best thing we can actually do is do something like the Freedom in Christ course that Pastor Lawrence is leading. Come towards the end of one or just finish one, but I know Pastor Lawrence, you've got to know, Freedom in Christ runs right past, like Blackpool Rock through Pastor Lawrence. It's just something. And those of us who've done it, I've done it several times, it is a powerful, spiritually liberating course to do. And if you're one of these folk and you know you're in a place where these are deep struggles in your soul, and you've got emotional scars that you're still bearing and you somehow are not getting away from them, then to dare to do Freedom in Christ course and begin to see what God can do through his word and through the grace and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But above all, when it comes to forgiveness, remember that in the story, the master forgave an unforgivable debt, an unpayable debt. The sum of money this man owed was the sum of the income of more than something like 10 countries, I think it is, around Judea. So when Jesus told the story, the crowd would have gasped because it was a sum beyond their imagination. It was an unpayable debt, but the Master forgave. And Jesus died on a cross, and as he was being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them." It cost our Heavenly Father his Son, and it cost the Son his life to forgive us the unpayable debt of our sin. The good news of this beautiful grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, the good news of that is that we can be forgiven. Whatever we think and imagine can't be forgiven, it can. It can. So never forget. And when you are learning this journey, this discipleship, this lifestyle of forgiveness, never forget that our Lord walked this journey himself. Our Lord won this journey for us. And if we can begin to take steps along it, I guarantee you, one of the most spiritually liberating, spiritually growing things you will ever do in your life is become a forgiver. So Alex Hunold climbed El Capitan. Do you want to know how he did it? They said to him one day, "So how many times have you climbed El Capitan?" He said, 40 times. 40 times with a rope. 40 times in safety. 40 times with the security of knowing that if he tripped and fell, he was okay. And then when he began to practice it free solo, he would try a little bit and see how he got on and practice that. And then another little bit and practice that. Till eventually one morning when it was still dark, he began the journey to climb El Capitan free solo. You'll never ever get to a place where you do that big thing of forgiveness unless you begin those little steps of practicing first, to the point that you then get to a place when you stand on top of the mountain of forgiveness and find just as much as you set somebody else free, you stand there free. Let's pray together. And just as we pray, I'm well aware that for some of us, this journey of forgiveness and forgiving is a long fought road. Please don't think for a moment that this message is a quick fix thing. It doesn't work like that. But always remember this, in your battle to forgive, never ever forget that it cost our Father his Son. It cost the Son his life. And the grace of his Spirit will be the one who actually gives you the ability, the right kind of power, to be able to hold your hand out and let them, let him, let her go. If you know you're in that place tonight, maybe the prayer for you is, "Father, help me to begin to make a journey towards forgiving." Just take those practice steps. Take the safe steps. Keep praying that prayer till it becomes a prayer that says, "I forgive." Maybe it'd be great for you to go and receive prayer tonight, and don't ever forget the prayer team is there to pray with you. Go and sit to the back at the tables to your right behind you and ask and say, "I need to share and I need to pray." Don't forget the Freedom in Christ course, which is a powerful journey that helps you walk in forgiveness, amongst other things. But never forget, the Son, in all his love from the Father, speaks over you, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Receive his forgiveness tonight. His grace, his love. Father, forgive them. Jesus, bless you now. And as we worship, you may want to remain seated and just quietly pray. You want to make to respond in worship, but as we worship, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his deep work in your life. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.